Hello and welcome to the Thursday, November 20th, 2014 edition of the Sands and the Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and today I'm recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Big data and cloud computing, of course, are big hot topics these days, and with that you often get something called NoSQL. These NoSQL databases distinguish themselves from traditional SQL databases by offering less features but higher speed. So Rob wrote up a little diary with some of the security considerations that you have to observe if you're deploying something like MongoDB, for example, or CouchDB. He doesn't mention here Elasticsearch, but I would sort of put it in the same category, in particular when it comes to the security aspects. These databases do listen on network ports, but one of the features that's often not really present in these databases is access controls. So there is typically no login and sometimes, well, some advanced functionality. For example, that was a problem with Elasticsearch recently, with scripts being executed by Elasticsearch, but also with something like MongoDB and CouchDB. Well, the reason you have these databases is to keep a lot of data in them. Without proper access control, you then don't have any control over who can actually get to that data. This is a particular problem with public clouds because they're usually, well, as the name public implies, exposed to the internet. So in that case, you don't necessarily have your own little private network as you would have it if you deployed these databases in your own infrastructure. And as Rob points out here, attack tools are not much behind. Burp Suite already deals with some of the issues that are posed by these NoSQL databases in web applications, but there is now also NoSQL Map, which is another exploit tool that will allow you to exploit these databases. So up to this point, you sort of had obscurity kind of going for you, but the attackers are certainly catching up and are actively looking for these NoSQL databases. And well, we have all heard of typo squatting, which usually refers to a technique where a fraudster does register a domain name close to the real domain name of a high-value organization like a bank. Let's go back in time and rediscover some old fraud. Apparently, there are now some scamsters out there that register phone numbers that are very close to financial institutions' phone numbers. Out of the top 600 financial institutions that were investigated here, about 103 had phone numbers registered that were one digit off from their legitimate phone number and then answered by a scammer. Unclear exactly how much this fraud nets the scammer, but of course this is now a very plausible fraud because the victim thinks that they initiated a contact. They dialed the trusted number off their bank. Just happens that not the bank is picking up, but someone claiming to be the bank. Not sure how to protect yourself from this. Maybe some kind of mutual authentication where the bank will, for example, after you authenticate to them, give you some detail about your account. But then, of course, with a phone call like this, the scammer also could essentially play man in the middle and just be on a second line dialing your bank and relaying that information to them, and then the bank's answer back to you. So don't think there is a great fix for that, other than saving the bank's number via speed dial. And Lookout has an interesting article about the next evolution of the not compatible botnet. Not compatible got its name because typically it's being installed by the user after a website claims that the phone does not have a compatible video player or whatever, and that then prompts the user to install the bot. In the past, this particular piece of malware has been used heavily in order to send spam, SMS spam as well, I believe, and also to buy tickets on various websites. Now, this new version C, or Charlie as Lookout identifies it, does have the ability to act as a proxy, which then in turn could be used to attack networks in which the mobile phone is being introduced. So essentially, well, the typical scenario where you're bringing your own device into a corporate network, that device happens to be infected with the Lookout.C version of this particular malware. Now the attacker could use the phone and the proxy installed on the phone to attack the corporate network. Lookout points out that they haven't really seen this feature being used in this capacity at this point, but this was the one sort of major addition in this most recent version of non-compatible. Well, anyway, this is it for today. So thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow.